Luke chapter 2, verse 1, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. If you go down with me, the Bible said in verse 8, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Look at verse 18 with me just a moment. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Turn over the page, verse 33. This was after that Simeon said what he did. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Look at verse 47 with me. And all they that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wished you not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Pray with me for a moment, would you? Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to be here. I pray, Lord, this morning that he, the Holy Spirit of God, would do his office work now, Lord, as the scripture's been opened and read. God, as we try to share a few thoughts that you put on our heart, I pray, Lord, today that you would make them real in our hearts. Lord, I realize that I have the capacity to speak to men's ears, but God, only you have the capacity to speak to men's hearts. So I pray the message today, Lord, would go deeper than our ears, would go down into our hearts. God, that you'd help us. Thank you, Lord, for the children, all those that work with the children. Lord, what a tremendous blessing it was to watch them. And Lord, to understand, Lord, that they're being taught the unsearchable riches of Christ. I pray, Lord, the day will come in every one of those young lives when they will experience the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, to do all of this and miss Jesus would be so sad. I pray, God, that you'd help us, that he, Lord, would be the center of attraction throughout this season and throughout the year. In Jesus' name, all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Really pray for us this morning. I want to try to convey something that's on my heart, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. I want to share some things with you this morning. I guess it'd be like an unusual Christmas story. And thinking about some things here as I've read through Luke chapter 2, not once, not twice, but many times this last week, and looked at it and read it and studied over it and prayed over it. But there's some things here that I want you to see that I think would help us this Christmas season. Now, we're in a church. We're not just in a church. We're in a Bible-believing church. We're in a Bible-preaching church. And let me say this morning. I don't mean to be offensive. If this offends you, it's not meant to be offensive. But I'm going to tell you, we had, I think, 15 or 16, 17 people standing up here reading a while ago. If we were all reading something different, it would have been mass confusion. Around here, we use the King James Bible. We don't apologize for that. We believe it's God's Word preserved in the English language for his people. Amen. And I love the Lord, and I love the Word of God, and I appreciate the Lord. And that is the standard. And we're going to be reading from it and looking at it today. And I want to give you three things the Lord has really put in my heart as we head in towards Christmas. Number one, the world has not changed. This just jumped out at me. It jumped out at me. You might say, well, preacher, yeah, the world's getting worse and worse, and I know in ways it is, but in ways, it's still the same. You can study about sinners in the Old Testament, sinners in the New Testament. Sinners are just what sinners always have been, amen? They're separated from God, and they're doing what sinners do. Amen. And the Bible said here, I'm talking about some things that haven't changed. The Bible said in those days are all the world. It went out a decree that all the world should be taxed. How many's figured it out? That ain't changed. Amen. January's coming. Pastor has to pay estimated taxes every quarter. You have to estimate it, and then at the end of the year, they give you something that's not an estimate anymore. They nail it down. And either they owe you a little bit, or you owe them a little bit, or you owe them a whole lot. Amen. Never has been they owed me a whole lot. But anyway, it's not changed. You see, many, beloved, listen. You say, Pastor, why would you mention taxes? Well, that's money. And you know what a lot of Christmas is going to be about in this world? Money. Not the master, but money. That's what it's going to be about. People are going to be troubled over money. You know what my heart's prayer is? Somebody get troubled over the master. You're going to meet the master one day after a while, beloved. Listen, it ain't going to matter how much money you had in the bank, have in the bank, ever had in the bank, got in your pocket. Beloved, we came in without anything in our pockets, and we're going out without anything in our pockets. One old preacher said, ain't never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. Amen. We come in naked, we're going out naked. Now, the only thing that's going to matter is what we've done with Jesus. The master, not the money. But many people these days are going to be disappointed because the world's not changed. That's sure still where their focus is. And then I thought about this. In Jesus' day, there were many people that were unaware of his birth. There were some, thank God there was a remnant. Thank God for the shepherds. Thank God for the angels that made the announcement. There was a remnant, amen, that knew this is the Son of God. And he's come into the world. And he come in with a purpose to save his people from their sin. They knew that he was Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. They didn't have to have anybody to argue whether he was deity or not. They knew he was the Son of God. That's why the Bible said unto us a child is born. Yes, Jesus was born, but the Son wasn't born. The Son was given because the Son always has been, you see. From everlasting to everlasting, the Word of God said, thou art God. Amen. And so, beloved, they were unaware. Many were unaware of his birth, unaware that the Son of God was coming into the world to be born of a virgin, a woman that was highly favored. Amen. You say, Pastor, what else? What are you trying to tie in with? It's not changed. Well, there's so many today that are unaware that he's coming again. Beloved, listen, this time he's not coming as a little baby in a manger. He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm telling you, beloved, on his vesture, there's going to be a, beloved, the Word of God. Amen. And it's going to be dipped in blood. Now, I thank God, beloved, this morning, the world has not changed. You think about the money. You think about those that are unaware. I want to tell you this. This is true also. Listen, in Jesus' day, they found a woman that found favor with God. Her name was Mary. She lived a life that was holy. She saved herself for marriage. She saved herself for one man. I tell you, you say, Pastor, that's about unheard of these days. That might be about unheard of, but I promise you this. There's still a few young people in this world, amen, that want God's will for their life. And they want to live for God. And they don't want just any man. They don't want just any woman. They want that man that's the will of God. They want that woman that's the will of God for that life. They want a home where they can raise children for the glory of God. Amen. And I believe that is still not changed in this world. One more thing and I'll move on to the second thing in the message God put on my heart. Herod was mean. He said, I want to find this young child and I want to worship him. And we know that he didn't want to worship him. He wanted to kill him. Now listen, a lot of people have never seen this. And some of you, I think I've shared this before. We need to think about it this morning. Think about this. In the Old Testament, in the days of Moses, there was a mass killing of the babies. And beloved, there was a deliverer that was on his way. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? In the days of Jesus, when Herod found out about this Jesus, about this Christ child, he killed all the babies, the male babies, from 2 years old down. Do you remember that? And the Bible is teaching us that, again, there was a deliverer that was on his way. And we're living in a day, beloved, listen, where that the abortions are being committed by the thousands every day, by the millions every year. But I want you to know this. I believe there's an announcement being made for those who will listen. There's a deliverer that's on his way. Amen. You say, Pastor, the world has not changed. No, it's not changed. But thank God, God's still changing people in the world. He's still changing lives every day. Those that will trust him as their Savior. So I see the world has not changed. The second thing I want to give you today, it's hard to loosen this one, ain't it, Brother Gristle? Oh, boy. I might have to get somebody to unhook this cow. Amen. I feel like I've been tied to a hitching post. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. I don't like standing behind one. These preachers and them clear pulpits. I feel like I need to do this. Amen. I look here and my tie ain't hanging down. I just feel like I'm naked standing up here. Amen. But anyway, I'll get me a box next time, Mr. Need. Amen. Put it behind the box. And they got me the shortest pulpit in the church. I don't know what they're trying to do. Amen. Amen, Brother Wayne. They're picking on me, ain't they, brother? Amen. We'll do the best we can. The world's not changed. But I want to give you this. The second statement that God gave me, there's a wonder that's been exchanged. You say, Preacher, what do you mean a wonder? Look in verse number 18. The Bible said here, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Let me ask you this. Where's the wonder of Christmas? Where's the wonder? Where's the wonder of it all? Now listen to me. I love watching children just light up with the wonder of it all. But I'm telling you, I believe sometimes the children are lighting up at the wonder of the wrong thing. I'm not against that. And I'm not going to fuss today. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Every youngin' needs to know who Jesus is. Every youngin' needs to know why Jesus came. Every youngin' needs to know that one day after a while, they're going to stand before Jesus. Mommy ain't going to be able to stand there for them. Daddy ain't going to be able to stand there for them. They're going to have to stand there on their own. Look at verse 18. All they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Now look at verse number 33. The Bible said, and Joseph and Mary marveled at those things which were spoken of him. You remember when the Bible said here, look at verse 26. I'll read verse 25 as well. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up in his arms and he blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Let me ask you something this morning. Have you seen his salvation? Oh, the Bible said, or the song said in Amazing Grace, I once was blind, but now I see. Oh, I've not seen Jesus literally. I've not seen the baby. I've not even seen the cross literally. But thank God through eyes of faith. Amen. I can say I know he was born. I know he hung on that cross and died for me. I know he rose again the third day. And I know he's coming again. Amen. Because God has allowed us to believe the precious word of God. The wonder of it all. The Bible said, which was prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. I'm not fussing. Not fussing at all. I'm going to tell you this. There are going to be a lot of people. I wrote down a few things. They're going to exchange his presence for our presence. Now listen to me carefully. You spell the word presence wrong, differently. P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. The presence of the Lord. That's what Christmas is all about. Listen, it's not what's under the tree. It's who hung on the tree.
We need to understand, beloved, that Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the wonder has been exchanged. We've exchanged His presence for our presence. We've exchanged His tree for our tree. I've watched my wife. And again, I'm not fussing and I'm all for it. I like the Christmas tree. But I'm telling you what, the ladies of the house will make sure it's beautiful. But I tell you, the tree that's important at Christmas time, it's not the one that's beautiful. It's the one that's ugly. It's the one that's bloodstained. It's the one where the darling Son of God said, "For this cause came I into the world. He came to die that you and I might live." That's Christmas, amen. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, beloved friend, I'm not against the Christmas tree, but don't ever let it be exchanged for the tree that's really going to matter in eternity. Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. I've been doing a little study lately, and beloved, listen, I believe it's right. I believe Jesus hung there in open shame. I believe He hung there. Most of the artists, they put a loincloth on Him. But I'm going to tell you something, right? The more studying I do, the more I believe, beloved, that He was absolutely naked. I'm telling you, because in that culture, in the Jewish culture, beloved, there was a lot of modesty. Amen. And they wanted to bring about as much shame as they could on anybody. And He hung there in open shame. My friend, listen, He hung there with no clothes so that you and I could be clothed when we stand in His presence and have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ robed on our heart and on our life so we can be fit to stand before Him. Brother Jim, Miss Eve, how's this thing come off? It's got to come off. Come here, Steve. I need help. Get this thing off of me, brother. I love you, Brother Brian, but that's it. Amen. Whew. I guarantee you never did see Brother Jack in one of these, did you? I know now why. Amen. Every time I seen him, Brother Grizzle, a picture of him, that thing was unbuttoned way down yonder. Amen. Give us some air, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Brother Steve. Woo! Amen. Listen, Brother Jim was showing me a picture the other day down where his daughter lives, where Mandy lives in Knoxville. There's a neighborhood. I'm telling you, as soon as I saw the picture, all I could think about was Sawyer and Olivia and Amelia and Ava. You say, "Preacher, why did you say and, because I'm old." When you got 11 grandchildren, it takes a little while to sift through them and say amen. But anyway, all I could think about was when Brother Jim was showing me, he made a video of this neighborhood. Brother Steve, it's more elaborate than anything I've ever seen in my life. I mean, the Christmas decorations and the lights, everybody in that neighborhood, the federal government must be paying the light bill, amen, I'm telling you. I don't know what's going on there, but they're beautiful. They're beautiful. And I'm not against that. As a matter of fact, when I first saw it, I thought, boy, it'd be nice. Knoxville's an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes away. Brother Eddie, I thought, boy, it'd be nice to load my grandchildren up and take them down there and just ride them through that neighborhood. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Those lights aren't the most important lights at Christmas. Amen. Listen, are you getting it? Am I presenting a balance today? I'm not fussing about the Christmas lights. I like them. But hallelujah, the light of the world came down here so that you and I, my friend, could shine as lights in this world that we live in. Amen. The Bible said, "Let your light so shine before men that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Oh, beloved friend, we've exchanged His presence for our presence, His tree for our tree, His light for our lights. We've exchanged His gift for our gifts. And if we're not careful, beloved, we'll put the emphasis on all the wrong things. And you're going to get mad at me for this one. But listen to me carefully. We've exchanged Him, the one that shed that precious blood. Are you listening to me? That red blood. For another fella in a red suit. I'm telling you, beloved, listen to me and hear me well right here. I'm not telling you what to do, but I'm telling you, if you know Jesus is your Lord and your Savior, surely, 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 thank you. Throw it, Brother Jim, I can catch. These boys may not be able to catch. I can catch. Amen. Thank you, brother. But anyway, I'm telling you, we need to teach them about what happened, that it's not just the baby. The baby grows up. Amen. And the baby goes about doing good. And the baby was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. The baby was sinless, holy, harmless, undefiled, the Son of the living God. And we need to teach them that. And then that one that grew up into a man at 33 and a half years old gave his life on an old rugged cross so that we could have life and have it everlasting, have it more abundantly while that we're here. So we see there's a world that's not changed. There's a wonder that's been exchanged. You look over in verse 47. All they that heard him were astonished. When's the last time you were astonished at the Christmas message? The Bible said his understanding, his answers, when they saw him, they were amazed. When's the last time you were amazed? I'll tell you, the last time that I was really amazed was Bible school. Bible school. Somebody stepped up to the table back here at Bible school. And I don't even remember what the present or the gift was that they got. It was a prize that they won. And somebody stepped up behind him and said, I'd like to have one of those. And the lady working the table said, honey, that was the last one. And the young man that had just gotten it turned and gave it to him. I'm going to tell you, that amazes me. That's not in our human nature to be like that. That's somebody working on the inside. Hallelujah. Amen. That makes you want to make Christmas not about us, but about him and about others. Amen. I thank the Lord for that. Don't you? There's a world that's not changed. There's a wonder that's been exchanged. But watch this. There's a wisdom. Listen to me carefully. That still seems strange. Look at it here in the Word of God. The Bible said here, and they saw it, and the mother said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? You remember he's 12 years old. They've already went, I think, several days journey. I can't remember now. But they went away from Jerusalem. And all of a sudden they look around in the caravan and there's no Jesus. And it reminded me of a lady that had a station wagon full of kids where I pastored in Wise. And they went to Big Stone Gap. They lived in Wise. They went to Big Stone Gap to the Walmart and they got home and unloaded the wagon. There's one missing. Now, can you imagine? I believe your heart would go in your shoes. And, of course, at that time, you didn't have cell phones. Yeah, I'm that old. Amen. You didn't have cell phones, so they went inside, and they got on the phone, called Walmart. Yeah, we got him right here at the service desk. You know, no problem. Come on back and get him. Amen. But here, Jesus, he's in the temple. Notice what the Bible said here. The parents went every year to the Feast of the Passover, verse 42. He's 12 years old. He went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, they returned. The child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey. And they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. When they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. It came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple. There's where the 3 days come. They went a day's journey, but even when they got back, it took them 3 days to find him. You think about that. I don't know about you. I went to buy a pair of shoes. I had Olivia with me. That little youngin's rotten. I said, she's rotten. I went to buy a pair of shoes. I had Olivia with me right over here in Kingsport. In just a little old store, I can't remember the name of it now. I was having trouble on my feet. I was trying to get me a pair of shoes that would help them. And I wish I could remember the name of it. I would advertise for them a little bit. But anyway, I can't remember the name of it. And I turned here to pay for the shoes, and I turned back, and she was gone. And I'm going to tell you something right now. This papaw's heart, it went in the floor. I'm telling you, I'm talking 10 seconds. I didn't see anybody else in the store. And she steps out from behind this little rack and says, I'm right here, papaw. Jesus is in the temple. And the Word of God said, watch it here. He's teaching. He's listening. He's speaking. The Bible said here, came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. What they're beginning to realize is, this is not your average 12-year-old boy. There's something special about him. I'm going to tell you something, that statement doesn't mean anything to you if you don't know him. But if you know him this morning, you would have to say, there's something special about him. I'm glad that there's a song that says, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's something about that name. I'm glad before I was ever saved, I knew there was something about that name, the name of Jesus. Watch this. The Bible said, they that heard him were astonished at his understanding, his answers. When they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wist you not, or don't you know that I must be about my father's business? Now listen to me carefully. How many believes that Joseph and his mother Mary, you can't say his mother and father because Joseph's not his father. God is his father. But Joseph and his mother Mary, how many believes that way before he was ever 12 years old, they knew there was something about him? Amen. And so Jesus said, wish you not. Haven't you figured this out by now? I must be about my father's business. I want you to see this. I'm talking about there's a wisdom that still seems strange. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. That's the second time in this chapter. Mary's got so much in her heart. She's got a heart full. And she's knowing now, beloved, as his life progresses, where he's headed. And she's going to go all the way with him to the cross. But watch what the Bible said. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. I want to give you a couple of verses of Scripture. We'll close this morning. I want you to think about something. I'm talking about a wisdom that still seems strange. The Bible said, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. I believe it's Daniel 12 and 3. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. I promise you, Brother Coulter, when you go through those corridors and go cell to cell, that there's a lot of people that just seems strange to. Why would a man leave his family? Why would he leave his hometown? Why would he leave his home church? I tell you why. He must needs be about his father's business. Why would a young man or a young lady, when the Spirit of God goes to fingering around their heart, Brother Eddie, why would they get up from a comfortable pew and walk down to an old-fashioned altar and cry out to one they've never seen? Cry out to one, beloved, listen, that though they don't never seen him, they know he's there. The Word of God said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'll tell you, beloved, listen, that kind of wisdom still seems strange in this world today. Listen, most churches have even given up on giving an invitation. They don't even give an invitation anymore. But I'm telling you, beloved, God is still inviting men and women and boys and girls, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. You don't have to carry that sin burden anymore. It's Christmas. Thank God Jesus came in a cradle, and he went to the cross, and he's coming again. And you can be ready to meet him when he comes again. The wisdom, it still seems strange today. Watch this. Turn over with me to Romans, please. Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. The Bible said, because that which may be known of God in verse 19 is manifested in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You know what the Word of God said? If you can see the moon, you can see the stars. You can see, beloved, listen, the snow coming down. You can see the rain. You can understand, beloved, that there's somebody that done all that. There's somebody that painted those leaves last fall. There's somebody, beloved, working in this world. There's a Creator. And the Word of God said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His righteousness. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, God is saying so that they are all without excuse. You say, Pastor, you mean to tell me that God is going to hold a man accountable? Yes, I do. God didn't put the moon up there to worship it. But God put the moon up there to cause a man to look at that and say, I wonder who hung it there. Amen. God didn't put the sun up there to worship it. God didn't put a cow over on the field to worship it. He put it over there, beloved, to skin and eat it after a while. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, God that created the heavens and the earth. Watch what the Word of God said. He said they're without excuse. Watch this. Verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. Boy, you think about that. But became vain. You know what a lot of people are going to do? Listen to me carefully. They're going to gather for Christmas, and they're going to open something, and there's a look going to come on their face, a look of disappointment. I'm telling it right. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, that there are going to be people that even Christmas Day won't be thankful. I'm going to tell you something right now. Before any of that paper comes off, I'll look at that precious woman over there. I'll have a heart so full of thanks. You say, Preacher, what do you mean? Praise God. I'm telling you, beloved, we ought to thank God for our families. Amen. We ought to thank God for each other. Thank God that we know Him. Thank God that we know what Christmas is really all about. Even before the gifts are open. But watch this. They weren't thankful. It came vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened. Right here's where we're at. A wisdom that still seems strange. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Right there's where we're at, beloved. Listen to me. The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. The world says that we came from apes. God said, I reached down, took some dust, and I formed a man. I breathed into that man's nostrils the breath of life. The Bible teaches us that God made us in His own image. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, you can believe whatever you want to, but if you believe the Bible, you're wise. You're wise to believe the Word of God. I appreciate the Bible, the wonder of His birth, the wonder of His blood, the wonder of the blessed hope, the wonder of His bride. Jesus is going to call His bride home one day soon. I'm glad, thank God, that I know Him. Aren't you? Amen. The wisdom, it still seems strange to a lot of people. Beloved, it's still the best way to go. Trust Jesus. Don't get tied up with the money. Get tied up with the Master. He loves you this morning. He gave His life for you. What can you give for Him? Let's bow our heads for prayer. We have somebody. Is Laura here? You're going to do the invitation, honey. The song, that'd be great. Get us an invitation song ready. That'd be fine. Thank you. Oh, beloved friend, this morning, it's Christmas. Have you ever received the gift of God? Do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Do you know this? You're going to die one day. The Bible said it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Everybody's going to die. The only way I could escape that is if Jesus were to come, and I'd be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. I'd like to see the hands, listen to me carefully, of every individual, listen to me carefully, very carefully. You say, Pastor, if he comes right now, it's okay. I remember when I put my trust in Him. I remember when He took that burden off of me, and I know that it's well with my soul. I know Jesus as my Savior. Would you raise your hand and hold it up there high? Amen. Would you wave like the angels did a while ago? Glory to God in the highest. Amen. Isn't it wonderful to know Him? Let me ask you this. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I couldn't raise my hand. because I've never met Jesus. I want you to know there's no shame in that. There was a time when every one of us didn't know him. I was a church member 6.5 years before I met Jesus. My church membership wasn't going to help me. But thank God, coming to Jesus, my sins were forgiven. My name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. I've known ever since that day in February 1987 that Jesus was my Savior and heaven would be my home. There's somebody here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not ready to meet the Lord. I'm not ready to meet Him, but I want to be ready. Pray for me. Anybody here today say, Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. I don't know Jesus as my Savior, but I want you to pray for me. I really do want to know Him. I'd love to know that my sins are forgiven, that my name is written in heaven. Would you slip up your hand and say, remember me when you pray? Anybody? Anywhere? Anybody? Anywhere? Let me ask you this question. There's somebody here today and say, Pastor, I know I've been saved, but I know I've drifted a long way. A long way from where I used to be. And I want to get back to that place. God bless you, honey. I want to get back to that place of blessing. God bless you and God bless you. God bless you, brother. God bless you, honey. Oh, it's Christmas. Amen, brother Carl. Amen. It's Christmas. Oh, to get that joy back. All you got to do, when you got saved, you trusted Jesus, you asked Him to forgive you. You can't get saved again. But I tell you what you can do. You can get clean. That same blood that was shed so that you and I could be born again is that same blood. We can bow and confess our sin. He said if we say we're without sin, we're lying and the truth is not in us. But if we'll confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You're clean through the word, Jesus said, which I've spoken unto you. Can I ask you today, if there's a distance between you and the Lord, you know who moved? It wasn't Him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're the one that moved. Would you move this morning? You say, Pastor, it'd be embarrassing to get up there and kneel down at an altar in this Christmas service. I'm going to ask you this. Would it be any more embarrassing than being stripped of your clothes and nailed to a cross? That's what He went through. I wonder who'd get up this morning and say, I want my joy back. I don't care what people think. Thank you, honey. Miss Eve, come pray. I want my joy back. I don't care what people think. I want to get close to Jesus. Would you just get up? Come. 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 That's what Jesus said. Come unto me. Come. I'll in no wise cast you out. Young man, young lady, you've asked me to pray for you. Would you come? Would you come just talk to Jesus? I tell you two words, carry a lot of weight. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry I turned my back on you. I'm sorry I laid my Bible down. I'm sorry I quit going to church. I'm sorry, Lord, I quit praying. I'm sorry, Lord, for the sin that I've been involved in. I'm telling you, beloved, you can have your joy back. That's why He died on the cross, so we could be saved, so we could walk in fellowship. I believe somebody else ought to come. There's a struggle going on in your bosom right now. Would you come? Boy, I tell you, you could go free. You could leave here this morning not knowing your feet are touching the ground. Have that joy back. Would you come? Young man, would you come? Would you come? I could use the help. Would you come? Would you come? Turn your back on that mess. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? Boy, I hate to give up when I know God's working. Amen. Amen. He's a working. He's a working. Oh God, thank you for working in our hearts. Lord, when I looked out a while ago, I saw the hands. But God, you saw the hearts. You know, Lord, what's going on in that heart right now. I pray, Lord Jesus, thy will be done. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Take these few little words, Lord, and embed them in our hearts. Help us, Lord, that we wouldn't miss the wonder of it all. Help us that we would be wise even in these days. God will give you glory. I mean, he's glad you come.